Elizabeth Elliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned." She says, "I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, finding out who He is, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today on the subject of true liberation. I know that Elizabeth Elliot may seem like a very strange woman with very peculiar views about many things to some of you. One woman who happened to be in the military was given a book of mine called Passion and Purity, which is a book on what it means to bring your love life, your sexual desires, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the woman who told me this story said that when she lent her friend the book, Passion and Purity, the friend brought it back and just covered her face and said to her, "I can't believe the stuff this author says." So I need a little support now and then, and I have gotten quite a bit of it when I get onto the subject of the liberated woman. I had a letter from Maine saying, "Please keep encouraging women to be submissive to their husbands and to stay home with their children. I did neither, and I have suffered." Then another one says, "I wish I had had your perspectives before my marriage dissolved. Now I'm looking for a way to open up my home so that I will learn to be less self-centered and to care more for others, not just my own needs. Your programs on men and how they should act has caused me to weep often. If only there were such men in the world, or maybe even in this state. The model you set for men is a tough one to emulate, but you are right, I believe. Thanks for trying to inspire men to be as God would want them to be." I have been amazed at the letters that I have had from men thanking me for the things that I have to say about women's liberation and also about masculinity. And I do really believe that the feminist movement has done a real job on our thinking, because there has been so much confusion about the roles of men and women. So when I speak about true liberation, I'm speaking about the pattern which God has given us in His Word. There is where we find freedom. Freedom for women and freedom for men. Some time ago, some of you heard my friend Gail Summers on my program. Gail is a young woman, mother of several small children, and she is a woman who has worked and does have a part-time job. And I think you probably found her talks very sane, very sensible. She doesn't get flustered. She doesn't get shrill. She talks as a very thoughtful, careful Christian woman would speak. And she dealt with two groups of mothers. I have a letter in front of me that she wrote at my request to someone who had asked her a long list of questions about working women. I just want to go through some of the things that Gail said there, because I think she says them so much better than I could. I think the best way to address the question of whether mothers should work outside the home is to recognize that there are two groups of mothers to think about: those who actually have to work in order for a family to physically survive, and those who want to work but don't really have to. The reason I think we have to divide the groups right away is that the tone of the way we say what we have to say will be affected by which group a woman is in. Then she refers to the passage in Titus 2, 4 and 5. In it we find Paul exhorting Titus to teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. If a woman is seriously seeking God's will for her life as it relates to her role in the home, she has to come to terms with this unambiguous statement of Paul's, that a young woman who has a husband and children has as her primary service to God loving her husband and children. Later in the passage, he assures us that this is part of what the appearance of God's grace teaches us to do. We say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and we live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present evil age. The priorities in this passage, Gale says, are refreshingly clear. Husband and children are to be loved. Women are to be busy at home. Self-control and purity are highly prized, and a wife's submission to her husband befits the honor of the Word of God in the world. And then it's very important what Gale says next. She says, Paul is not rooting his teaching in the cultural customs of the day. We hear people say so often, but times have changed. Things are different than they were in Paul's day. We can't go by that. There's no way in the world we can take that and apply it to modern life. Gale Summers says, Paul does not root his teaching in the cultural customs of the day. He is attempting to give Titus, a young pastor, concrete, practical exhortations for the people in his flock who want to live their lives in accordance with sound doctrine. And I wouldn't be wasting my breath unless I believed that there are some people out there who want to live their lives in accordance with sound doctrine. And these principles, I believe with all my heart, are as relevant and as workable today as they were back when Paul wrote them. But we have to accept God's authority in our lives, don't we? We have to be willing to surrender to God's will. Now, some people would want to question whether Paul is speaking for God or for himself in the passages of his writings that touch on the role of women. Women are always asking, why should we accept the writings of Paul to be as binding or true today as they were in our age? And Gale's answer to that question is, because Paul was an apostle and had an apostolic calling to lay a truthful foundation for all Christians who would come after him. Therefore, we are simply not at liberty to pick and choose from his writings that which appeals to us as being authoritative and that which doesn't as being disposable. Women who take offense at Paul's authority have a much bigger problem than simply figuring out how to live godly lives in this present age. What about women who feel that it's unfair that they have to stay at home and be busy while their husbands have such interesting jobs? What inequity, the cry goes up. But here's where we can make one of the most crucial advances for the cause of women taking seriously what Paul says. Our job is to help a woman to see the tremendous service she renders to her children, to the community, to the coming of God's kingdom on earth by investing her life in raising her children herself in her own home. I've had letters from women who've said, but the people at my church want me to do more at the church. Or other Christians are telling me that I need to be more involved in the community. Could there possibly be any involvement in the community so crucial as the establishment of a firm, strong, peaceful, happy, godly home? You could not possibly be more crucially involved in your community than in the raising of godly children, in making saints for God, in cooperating with God in this job. Gale Summer says, ours is an age that needs to be reminded that nothing can replace the nurturing a mother can give her child. The irony here is that the specialists in child development nearly always agree on this issue. People like Robert Coles, a Nobel Prize-winning child psychiatrist at Harvard, says women should hand their children over to others only with fear and trembling, because nothing can replace the mother who is gladly there for them. And those are Robert Coles' words in quotations, gladly there for them, not grudgingly, gladly. And T. Barry Brazelton, pediatrician and child development expert, also says that the important bonding that goes on between infants and their mothers is crucial in forming a healthy self-esteem in the child. Gale says that she heard him once say that for a woman to stay home for the first year is tantamount to giving a wonderful gift to her child. So people who really know children and have made the study of them their vocation arrive at the same truth that Paul gave us so long ago in a culture so radically different from ours. A godly woman will have as her first priority loving and caring for her husband and children. And beyond that, she is to have an open eye and heart for those in need around her. I spoke the other day on part of women's work being hospitality, making a place of refreshment and peace where others can find that refreshment and peace that they so desperately need in this loud, noisy, busy, pressing, stressful world. The question of whether Paul forbade women to work outside the home is easily answered. The answer is no. But can a woman give herself to the duties Paul suggested and still have the time and energy to work outside of the home? I read that list the other day from 1 Timothy 5, and let me review some of those things again. Besides marriage and the care of children, hospitality, washing the feet of God's people, supporting those in distress, presiding over home, schooling younger women, etc. Can you do all of those things and work outside the home? The truly liberated woman is under obedience to God. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. You do what God tells you to do. That will lead to freedom, to peace, and to joy.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.